Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: the gospel of the glory of God and the glory of Christ. Chapter 10. The ultimate benefit that comes from knowing the glory of God. Although we have already addressed some points about the purpose of knowing the glory of God, and still before we delve deeper into some of the various specific aspects contained in the glory of the Lord, we would like to stress this purpose once again by using another angle of the benefit of the knowledge of the glory of God, which is exposed to us in the following text. 2 Corinthians 3, 16-18. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Recalling that the gospel is characterized as an offer of good news, it is evident that the possibility of being able to know the glory of God is also offered to us essentially for our benefit. But why does the Lord want us to know His glory, and what is the most central benefit of being able, through the revelation of His glory, to know who is the Lord and Creator of our lives? What can knowing more God affect our lives, and what a more accurate understanding of who the Lord is may contribute to our present and future? In some ways, understanding and experiencing the effects of knowing the glory of God regarding the life of those who come to know it is the most significant point of the relationship with the gospel of the glory of the Lord, for it is in the effects that the gospel can cause to a person and in favor of a person that an individual's connection to the gospel and its benefits is established indeed. If the gospel, as an offer of good tidings, did not actually have anything good to offer us, it would not be worthy to be an offer of good news either. Expecting good gifts and good results from the gospel is what the Lord expects us to do, for it is precisely for this purpose that the Lord announces and offers us this same gospel. If every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, who else could we turn to with the hope of receiving the true gifts that we need for life? When people do not know or know in a distorted way the glory of God, they begin to say, for example, that we should not disturb God with our requests, as if listening to and answering our supplications were a heavy burden on the Lord's shoulders, or as if it were a heavy burden for God to take care of the creation that He Himself made or created. In announcing who God is and how God works, the Scriptures inform us that God's care for His people or those who trust Him is still far superior to the care of a father or mother for their own child. How, then, could anyone say that God is oblivious to the needs of the people of the world, or that God does not see what happens in the earthly kingdoms? Psalms 27:10. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Isaiah 49:15. Can a woman forget her nursing child, and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. Hebrews 4:13. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. In previous chapters, we have also approached the point that the benefit of knowing the glory of God includes knowing who God is, so that the one who is justified in the Lord may live in trust in Him and His love. Nevertheless, in this present chapter, we would like to highlight that the great benefit of trusting in God, in turn, is reflected in ourselves and in the transformation that we may start to experience by placing our confidence in the Lord. Although it also includes this aspect, living through faith in God or living in trust in the Lord is not only a means to receive a free pass to heaven and eternal life. Faith in God, to the point that we know more of His glory, may have effects on our whole life also to the point of experiencing profound and marvelous transformations in our own being. The effect or benefit of being brought face to face with the revelation of the glory of God is the way by which we do not only receive various gifts from God through faith, but also for us to achieve the profound personal transformation that we need so much. Through the Scriptures, the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us that a person who is unjust when placed on a minimum of resources does not let the position of unfaithfulness just by being placed over many things. That is, it is not natural wealth that transforms an unjust person into a faithful person. Luke 16:10. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. The Scriptures, also through the writings of Paul, instruct us that it is not a system of conduct and teaching of what is right to do that enables a person to be a practitioner of what is truly good before God. Romans 7:14-24. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. If, then, I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law, that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am! Who will deliver me from this body of death? Romans 3:9-10. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. The profound inner transformation that human beings need so much, and for which so many people struggle without even knowing that it is for it that they long for, is not and cannot be found in their natural condition, in their fellow men, in the created things, or even in the gods that people imagined and created in their arrogant minds. When the human being seeks in the created things and his or her fellow men the solution for one's life and the transformation one thinks one needs, he or she places oneself in a cycle of slavery and corruption similar to what he or she already lives and from which one will never be able to become free without the help of God's mercy, as exemplified by the following text. Romans 8:19-21. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. What is corrupt cannot produce something perfect and not corrupt. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. The fallen human being and subject to the slavery of sin cannot produce the transformation that he or she oneself needs to achieve lasting freedom. From the condition of subjection to what is deficient and corrupted, the human being does not have the minimum elements to produce something that is lastingly good or that provides him or her with the eternal freedom one really needs. Only what is perfect can offer what is entirely perfect. Only what is right can create something fully just or can transform what has been corrupted. Only the unique one who has a perfect, upright, blameless, and truly free glory can offer a glory that grants true freedom and the path of transformation so that what is perfect and righteous can be achieved. Returning to the last texts referenced above, we can observe that the creation awaits the revelation of the glorious freedom of the children of God, which is based on the glory of God at their disposal, and this, so that the creation may also achieve the freedom that is given by the Lord to those who trust Him. We still highlight here that the creation does not wait to know the sons of God only in their mere natural condition, but it awaits the revelation of what makes the children of God enjoy the distinct or true freedom. The creation awaits the revelation of what allows a person to achieve a transformation that transcends what the mere human transformations propose and can accomplish. God's glory is revealed to us initially so that we may come to believe in God and receive eternal salvation in the Lord. However, after receiving the gospel, God continues to offer us the revelation of His glory so that we know that He is also the one who, together with salvation, gives us a new heart in which the Spirit of the Lord Himself dwells and that He is the one that offers to operate in us our very transformation in everything that we need to be transformed. Jeremiah 24, 7. Then I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart. Ezekiel 11, 19. Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh. Through the Lord's operation in the lives of those who come to know His glory and trust each of His attributes, the unfaithful can become faithful, and the unjust can become righteous. The sad can turn to be joyful, the hopeless in one who has a firm hope, the corrupted in a person who walks uprightly, the hateful in a gracious individual, the wicked in someone kind, the lost in saved one, the abandoned by father and mother in an eternal son of the unique eternal father in the entire universe. Through the knowledge of the glory of God and trust in God, a person can know the love of God and understand that, because of this love, everything that God has and also everything that God is in His most diverse attributes is available for him or her for what is eternally beneficial. Romans 8, 32. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Many people, for sure, fail to receive many benefits that are available to them in the Lord because they do not live by faith in God. However, how will they believe if they do not know, in a minimally satisfactory way, the Lord, His principal attributes, and what the Lord offers them for a life according to His eternal purpose? Therefore, the gospel of the glory of the Lord shows us the way to know specifically the attributes of God that we need to know. And, in turn, the specific knowledge of the attributes of God opens the way for us to exercise faith in the Lord concerning His attributes. Our faith concerning the attributes of God communicates to the Lord that we want Him to manifest them in our favor. And, in turn, the manifestation of God's attributes on our behalf also works in our transformation, from glory to glory, to the condition that the Lord has always intended for our lives, which is a life together with Him, in Him, and under His guidance. If people were willing to be taught to know at least a little more about how much can contribute to their lives a more comprehensive knowledge of who God is in His multiple attributes, they could also benefit from the transformations in them that can only be achieved through or together with the unique God who knows them precisely in each of their smallest details. The text we quoted at the beginning of this chapter informs us that if someone turns to the Lord also takes away the veil that blinds, as well as He shows Himself to this person. And if someone perseveres in knowing the glory of God, one will know not only several facets of this glory, but also the beneficial effects for his or her life that result from knowing this glory cumulatively and increasingly. Finally, in the present chapter, we would still like to mention that the text that we used at the beginning of this chapter also teaches us that the glory of God can be seen as if in a mirror so that the transformative effect that one wishes to obtain through it may also be achieved. And a first characteristic about seeing something as if through a mirror is in the fact that what one sees through a mirror is always current and contemporary. When someone sees something displayed in a painting, a picture, a sculpted image, or any other form that records a moment, and however much what was registered might have been the expression of truth in a particular time, that what was displayed expresses a past moment of something that may have undergone significant changes after the work of its registration. In a mirror, however, and as much as the mirror has defects or is of low quality, what is seen, is always seen in the present. It is characteristic of the mirror to mirror what is placed in front of it the moment it is placed. Given this, the glory of God is transforming for those who accept to see it as the glory of a living and present God, and not of a historical and past God, because a God who is no longer alive and active with all his attributes in the present cannot and will never be able to perfect a person. Thus, at this point, we recall that the gospel of the glory of the Lord is also offered to us to communicate that the glory of the works of the past of God transforms us only because it is also a glory that remains equally alive in the present and the future. Continuing yet, a second aspect about seeing something as if through a mirror is that when someone sees something in the mirror at different times, one may also observe what has been changing from one moment to the next. For the mirror faithfully reflects what remains the same because it was already consolidated in the previous steps, but it also shows what has changed over time. Therefore, when the scriptures inform us that we can contemplate the glory of God as if in a mirror, they also announce that the transformations that take place from glory to glory are tangible and practical in the lives of those in whom the Lord produces changes according to His glory, as well as that these transformations are made in the light of the Lord and so that they are visible to those who with God's help achieve changes. Through various aspects of the gospel of God, we are offered to know the path and how we can come before God with confidence to know His glory, which represents knowing God Himself and experiencing eternal life. Nevertheless, through the gospel of the glory of the Lord, we are invited to know even more the attributes of the Lord to the point that the Lord's life begins to produce in us its divine nature and frees us from a life without purpose or according to the fleeting glory of the things of the world. Hebrews 10:19-23. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us, through the veil, that is, His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. 2 Peter 1:2-4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. In the world, many people like to affirm and reaffirm that no person can really change who one is. However, many speak so for not knowing or not accepting the glory of God, because for the Lord even what was dead could revive, so that we know that many things that for human beings are impossible to be accomplished are entirely possible to be carried out and established by the Lord. 1 Peter 4:6. For this reason the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. If through the other aspects of the gospel the invitation, the offer, and the way to come closer to God are evidenced, the facet of the gospel of glory highlights the even more central purpose for which God wants us to come closer to Him. and which is that we may become transformed into the same image of what he is like, so that we may increasingly experience the supreme benefit of being in God and becoming able in him to live and walk according to his will. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord.